This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, February 9th, 2022. Votive Mass in Time of War or Civil Disturbance by Father William Doc Holliday.
Oh, let not our enemies triumph over us. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. There have been several parishioners that have contacted me about a mass in confrontation of what is going to go on this week in another state. I won't even give it the honor of saying where it's going to be. But there is going to be something that our enemies are presenting. It is a demonic fest, so to speak, literally. We have to appreciate the realities of what we're dealing with when we understand. We should understand the realities and know the realities of our struggle in spiritual warfare against Satan and his minions. We should know this out of hand. We should know it objectively. It is not some churchy illustration. It is not something to make us fearful of this, that, or the other thing, to make us be good little boys and girls. Our warfare against Satan, who is a real being, a fallen angel, a demon, and his minions who want nothing more than to drag us down with them, they usually work in this realm and when they keep themselves shadowy. They fight like a guerrilla war. They keep themselves hidden. They snipe when they can. They do it. And every now and then, when a guerrilla army feels that the time is ripe, they will come out in the open. Yeah. Most people here, some of them were there in Vietnam. You had this guerrilla warfare that went on. Then also in 1968, there was a thing called the Tet Offensive, when all of a sudden it got real. I mean, we're talking about battling an army. We're talking about house-to-house warfare in city. They felt comfortable. They decided to show themselves, to see if they were strong enough, maybe, to win a military battle. Satan is doing the same thing now. As things wind down for him, as his days grow short, we have to understand that we need to be ready. We need to fight. You know, so I was considering masses of reparation. Reparations. We're sorry that this has happened. Our Lord knows that Satan is right. Our Lord, Satan goes up into heaven. What were you doing? I was going about to and fro on the earth. Behold my servant Job. God and Satan are in contact with one another. We know that from the scriptures. So he knows what's going on down here. He has soldiers down here. It's us. We're supposed to fight. We have enemies. That first line, oh, let not our enemies triumph over us. Psalm 25, first line of scripture that was read today in the Mass. You know, there's a lot of places in scripture and in prayer books where any reference to us having enemies is left out. I've got a new prayer book. Psalm 143 is one of the penitential psalms. There are 12 verses. There are only 11 in that particular prayer book. Why? Because the last verse in there is, good Lord, deliver us from our enemies. And we're Catholics. We don't have any enemies. You keep thinking that. You keep thinking that and see what happens to you. You do have enemies. The scripture is replete with references to our enemies, our adversaries, those trying to do us harm, those that hate us. That's the people who are going to rear their ugly heads this week. This is a reality. As I look through my reparation, no, reparation is, it's basically damage control. or a mass, there is a mass for the propagation of the faith. The mass for the propagation of the faith is to strengthen us to witness to Christ for those who don't know him. Jews, Muslims, people like that. That's a mass for the propagation of faith. You know what mass applies? The mass for war and civil disturbance. All the prayers fit absolutely. Absolutely. The first collect today, the first prayer that was said about, O God, who makest wars to cease, by thy mighty right arm dost overthrow the adversaries of them that put their trust in thee. We have adversaries. We are those who put our trust in him. We fight for God. This is why we're the church. This is why we're confirmed with that little slap on the cheek historically, to let us know that we fight for him. We are his soldiers here. He is our general. We are his army. We are indeed soldiers. That first reading today from 1 Peter chapter 5. Interesting about that one. Traditionally, that passage is read every single night, the last prayer of the day. Every single night before the Catholic lays his head on the pillow and drifts off to sleep, every single night when he prays the hours, that prayer from 1 Peter chapter 5. The devil is a roaring lion, prowling about seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, firm in your faith. Every single night, that passage is read at evening prayer. It's that important. Because nighttime is a dangerous time. Nighttime is a time of temptations and in and out of conscience. We're not really paying attention sometimes that much, and you can drift. The devil is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is that old dragon, the serpent, whom we are called by Scripture to fight. It's kind of interesting, the analogy, that lion that prowls about seeking old serpent. He's an old lion. There's probably nothing more dangerous to a human being than an old lion. Young lions are kind of wary. That's how they become old lions. They're wary. You know, they know people. They're afraid of people. Okay, why? They got guns and all that. An old lion, not so much, because they're starving. They're sick. They're getting old. They are very dangerous to people because you're easy. You don't have horns. You don't have claws. You don't have hooves that can hurt them. You're a tender morsel. You're easy prey if you don't have a gun. And if you do, so be it. Okay, they can't reason through things like that, but an old and sick lion is the most dangerous kind to a human. They will come in to where humans live. It's a smorgasbord. They're old and they're sick. This devil that we fight is an old lion. The glorious thing that we have is our Lord, the Lamb of God. The Lamb has come. The Lion of Judah is coming. There's no mistake that the two are equated. We have an old sick lion, Satan, and we have the Lion of Judah. What's really kind of interesting is about it, that old lion is prowling about the world seeking whom he may devour. You, not somebody else, you. But you have an ally. You have that Lion of Judah. You have a young, strong lion that is your ally. You need to keep close to him. You need to be very close to him, as close as you possibly can. Because when you're close to him, guess what? He's going to take care of that old lion for you. This is the reality of what we're living right now. We can't beat that old lion by ourselves. It doesn't matter how sick or how old a lion is. Guess what? Bad grammar. You ain't winning. It's still a huge cat. As sick as he may be, and he will kill you. Can't let it happen. Hilary of Arles, he says, speaking about 1 Peter 5, resist God and he will destroy you. Resist the devil and he will flee. This is our fighting against the devil, is resisting him. I point out quite frequently, when we talk about resisting the devil, we do have deliverance prayers. We have holy water. We have sacramentals and all these things that we can use to shield ourselves and even run off demons. Okay, that's what one of the things holy water should be used for. That's why we bless houses with holy water and holy salt. It shields from the demonic. But those are high-end things. Your fighting, your resistance comes by you maintaining a state of grace, keeping that young lion, the Lion of Judah, close to you. You do that through the sacraments. You do it through the sacramentals. You do it through prayer. You do it through the reading of Scripture. That's how you keep the Lion of Judah very, very close to you. Okay, because he has won the victory, victory after victory. He has already defeated that old lion. The prayer before communion tonight, I haven't said it yet, you'll hear it. So look upon this sacrifice that we being preserved from all violence may ever be established with thy sure defense. We need to understand the reality. You know, I can't emphasize enough because I think it just gets lost with me. I use history illustrations. I use illustrations here. The scriptures use illustration. We got to appreciate how real this world is, that we may, by this sacrifice, the Eucharist, be preserved from all violence. This is real violence. These people that are gathering together in this place, they're going to play their little rituals and their little games and things like that. But that's where all violence comes from. All violence in this world. I mean, real violence. You know, people being killed and maimed and hurt, you know, all these things, deprived of loved ones, it, as a result of sin. And this is what this is a manifestation of, not just manifestation of sin. You can see that anywhere in the world. It is a manifestation of the worship of sin, the worship of the father of lies, the worship of Satan himself. This is what's going on. We need to counter that, and we can. He that is in us is so much more powerful than he that is in the world. Okay, never forget that, but never forget the reality of this. Like, you look at violence in the world. You look at wars. You know, I mentioned one before, Name Your Poison. The most inept historian, okay, knows about wars. And we can't help but to read the scriptures and not see about wars and their devastation and their violence. Wars, crime, look at the news, watch places burned down, people hurt, people killed, people losing loved ones, random acts of violence on there. It's from sin. It's satanic. Well, yeah, wars and crime, that's high. How about abortion? You think about that practice that is licit in this country and in most in the world. You look at abortion. There has never been an army of savage barbarians on the face of this planet in history who walked through towns and killed babies by the thousands every day. Even savages don't do that. We got a bunch of savages wearing medical garments. They're worse than anybody that walked around in furs and had bones in their hair. They are more savage than that. That comes from sin. All of those things come from sin. They are all satanic and they are all real. We need to understand that not only do we have that lion that we should keep close to us, we actually have a refuge. Psalm 46, they talk about God. Some versions say, you know, my fortress, others, my refuge. God is where we place ourselves, and not in God, in his wounds, like spiritual rap, which is a real thing, but within his will. His will is the walls of the fortress. And if we keep ourselves in his will, nothing spiritually evil can happen to us. He promises that. So we have our refuge. We don't need to flee from anybody. Notice it says, resist the devil. You don't win a battle by running from the enemy. You must confront them. You know, for most of us in day-to-day, it's temptations. Temptations, the temptations, wherever they come from, and some of them do come from the enemy. Some of them come from God because they're tests. It doesn't matter who they come from. You're called to resist them. I run from that, you're going to lose. Okay, you're going to lose. You need to fight. I'm not strong enough. You better get strong or you're going to lose. If you're not strong, you're going to lose. If you run, you're going to lose. Dom Scopoli, in the consummate work on spiritual warfare, titled Spiritual Warfare, not an original guy, but there's a line in it. If you don't fight, there are two things that are going to happen to you. You'll be captured or you'll be destroyed. He captures you. Guess what's going to happen? You'll ultimately be destroyed. So actually, there's only one thing. If you don't resist our enemy, you'll be killed. He didn't take prisoners. He wants to drag you down with him. St. Basil the Great, talking about this whole refuge thing and not flee. St. Basil says, do not flee from what you do not need to flee. But one thing you must flee, sin. And one refuge from evil must be sought, God. Just as a good general with a heavily armed force is always ready to give aid to the oppressed, so God is to everyone waging war against the devil. He's waiting to help you. You got to ask him. This is reality of things. You know, we're living in this modernist age where, you know, we're going to take out everything in the prayer books to talk about enemies and people hating us because everybody loves us because, you know, we're Jesus' buddies. We're Jesus' soldiers. And soldiers have to be trained up. A lot of people sit back and go, well, why are we having to deal with this? I don't live in this place where they're doing that. They're just worshiping the one who tempts you every day. No one's exempt from his assaults. The last prayer of the day. O God, who dost heal us by thy chastisement. What is that? Heal by their chastisement. It's called negative reinforcement. We learn a whole lot more by negative reinforcement than we do positive reinforcement. I was watching a show one time, and it was a show about these people who train military people. They had a couple of them from Army and the Marine Corps. The guy from Marine Corps said, because they asked him about, you know, yeah, don't you think the Marines back then were tougher than they are now? My answer to that would be yes, unequivocally, yes. But he was trying to be political and nice, and he said, you know, he goes, it's not, I don't even want to enter that debate. He says, but let me tell you this. He says, I can teach someone in a third the amount of time if you let me lay my hands on them. That's true. I always use that, the example, like being able to tie a tie. What has that got to do with anything? My dad tried to teach me how to tie a tie my entire life. Yeah, whatever. Hell, I didn't know. I just kept blowing it off. Then I went to a particular school in the Marine Corps where you got to look real nice. Marines look real nice all the time. Subjective opinion. But you had to look really, really nice for this particular job. And one of the things you had to do is be able to tie a tie. I knew how to tie a tie, I mean, with a beautiful dimple in it, in like 10 minutes. Something my dad couldn't do in 18 years, and he did lay his hands on me. Not about that, but other things. So I knew it would happen, could happen. A little bit, that's dad. You have somebody that'll lay their hands on you and they're not your daddy. You, all of a sudden, you learn really quick. I learned that works. Me personally, when I used to train new cops, they'd be out at the gun range, and there's a lot of people that mess up. They hold the gun wrong, and if they keep doing it, it's going to take the top of your thumb off. Just the way things work. And you're not strong enough to keep a piece of machinery from working. And I'd go up and tell somebody, I was saying, well, put your finger up there, put your thumb down, put your thumb down, and then I'd stand back. And other instructors that was looking, paying attention, would look over. Hey, you need, I said, let it go. Let it go. After a couple strings of fire, bam, bleeding like a stuck pig. You know, now people look at me and go, how could you do that to somebody? I could do that to somebody because if it happens there, they will learn and they will never do it again. If it happens when they shoot their gun at a bad guy and miss, but they can't shoot again because they're all freaking out because their hands bleeding all over the place. I want it to happen there. And guess what? None of them do it again. All right. Negative reinforcement works. We get the same thing in this world. We get the same thing in this world. Our Lord will put us in these situations. I'm going to allow, because everything in this world he allows. You're not doing anything that he's not going to allow. He allows stuff like this. Why? Because it's like, hello, modernist Catholic Church. Look, there's real Satanists out there. They're worshiping the devil. Catholics, you who like to say, I don't have any enemies. Look, I don't like to look at stuff like that. Lose then. Lose. This is what he means by heals us by his chastisements. And the prayer goes on, and by thy pardon dost preserve us. This is the important part. He pardons us when we haven't fought before, when we've been bad soldiers. And we all have at certain times. Constantly. We're always dropping the ball, not doing this right, doing this wrong, doing this in a halfway manner. But guess what? His pardon preserves us. He keeps us in a state of grace, and then he absolves us in the confessional, and he gives us sacramental graces to stay close to him, who is the Lion of Judah. The way we're going to stop stuff like this, and we're not going to stop it. He is. But at the end of the day, you got to keep yourself in a position where your prayers work, because that is where reparations. If you do reparations and you're in a very good state of grace and he knows you're a good soldier, he'll listen to your prayers more. They will be much more efficacious. If you're a weak soldier, he's going to treat you like a weak soldier because he wants you to learn. But again, we learn best from negative reinforcement. We learn quicker. We learn better. That's all there is to it. So when we look at this situation in which we find ourselves, the way to counter it is not come in here and do a massive reparation. It's coming in here and getting closer to Jesus Christ, that Lion of Judah, and sicking him on that old sick lion who's prowling around the world seeking to devour us. And Father and the Son and Holy Ghost,